Lit? All right. All right. Thank you for being with us today. We are finishing part seven of this series called Meaningful Passages. You've had a chance to hear from some of our pastors about their meaningful passages. And since I made the schedule, I put my name down more than once, and I get to share today. But I'm also excited. In 2 weeks, we will begin a book study through the book of James. It's entitled Faith in Action. But if you look really closely, when you see the logo, there's a subtitle that says, put your big boy pants on. That's really what the book is all about. So we'll begin that in 2 weeks. So today, as we wrap up this meaningful passage series, turn to Proverbs chapter 4, if you would. Proverbs chapter 4. At the end of July, my wife and I got away to Bend, Oregon for our 35th wedding anniversary. We were just soaking up the sun and soaking up our time together. We were right on the Deschutes River. We had to float down that river just about every day, some days twice a day. And while I'm completely disengaged with my role here, I heard from God. It wasn't audible, because I grew up Baptist. That's why I wasn't audible. And I know it was God because I wasn't thinking about it, and it was a scripture, and Satan wouldn't tell me to preach on scripture. And while I'm relaxing, God was like, you need to change the end of the series and teach on Proverbs 4. You know, I'm like, but God, I really wanted to teach on 1 Corinthians, you know, that passage in there. And God goes, Proverbs 4. And I do what I normally do, so because I could talk myself in or out of anything. I said, okay, God, if that's what you want, confirm it. And a few days later, he confirmed it. And I had no idea in the last 2 weeks that I needed this passage more than ever. This passage, in this passage, there's a verse that was by far the go-to passage that my wife and I use time and time again in parenting. I mean, one of those verses that you keep bringing up over and over again, and your kids start rolling their eyes and they finish the verse for you because they've heard it that much, that's the verse. But it's not just a verse for us as parents, but I highly recommend it, no matter the age of your child. But Candy and I, in our own personal lives, have used this verse in this passage over and over and over and over again. The reason why it's so important is that this passage prepares us to respond well when we're surprised, when something happens that we didn't know. When we're hurt and we feel the sting of that, if we apply that verse in this passage, it'll help us respond well when we're hurt, respond well when we get angry, respond well when we're disappointed. We have expectations up here, but reality comes in here. And all in here is discouragement and disappointment. It respond well when you're tempted, when Satan, you know, flashes a little shiny object, something you shouldn't look at, a place you shouldn't click on. How to respond when you're tempted, how to respond when you're criticized, how to respond when you fail. And this passage also helps us how to respond when you succeed. Because success, applause, can go to our heads. And this verse in this passage helps us with this. To set up this verse I'm going to talk about, it talks about in verse 20, kind of a setup, preparation. The writer says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Meaning, don't just listen to me. I want you to hear me. And don't just hear me. I want you to take what I'm going to say to heart. It's one of those type things. This is so important. And he gives why in the next verse, verse 22. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. This is so important. It's going to affect your life and your health, not just your physical life and health. This passage, this verse is going to help your relational life and health. This passage will help your emotional life and health. This passage is going to help your sexual life and health. It'll affect your financial life and health. Are you getting the clue here? It's going to affect everything in your life. And before I get to that verse, I have a little story to tell you. A quiet forest dweller high above an Austrian village on the eastern slope in the Alps, was the keeper of the spring. See, this man was hired by the village down below to live up in that Alps and to make sure that the springs that fed the pond and the pool of water that eventually would flow down to the river, that this keeper of the springs would, when a tree fell, he would remove the tree. When branches broke during a storm, he would remove the branches. When the autumn leaves would fall, he would make sure they didn't clog up and dam up the pond, the pool. And slowly but surely, this river would go by this Austrian village, and it was pure, clear water. Graceful swans found out about the place, and they loved to float on that water. It became a tourist attraction. You got the Alps, and you got the water, and it was so beautiful, and restaurants began to build on the banks of this river, and condos on it, and this water naturally watered the fields nearby. It became a source of drinking water. I mean, it was just absolutely stunning. So day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, the keeper of the spring would just keep it clear, remove debris, anything that would clog it up, so that pure, clear water would flow. Years go by. A new town council was elected, and no one on the council knew about who the keeper of the spring was and what he did. And at their second semi-annual business meeting, they looked at the budget, and someone saw a keeper of the spring, and there's the salary, and they're like, "What is this?" And no one could answer. They're like, "Well, this is a waste of money. We got to change this. I mean, we can surely use this salary and put it into our village and use it in a much better, more effective, wise way." So they took a vote, and it was unanimous. They canceled the services of the keeper of the spring. Over the next number of weeks, there was no visible change. A couple months later, the water was a little different, but not that bad. It tasted just the same. But then the storms came, and trees fell, and branches were dumped into the water, and they began to dam things up. And then the autumn leaves all began to fall, and the pool began to be dammed up and slowed down, and became yellowish, greenish. This algae grew. And the longer it was there, slowly downstream, the water turned color, turned darker. The drinking water caused sickness. And then there was the smell. And then it was, you know, the swans, they came and quickly left. The tourists didn't stay. And the town council realized, we've made a huge mistake. They gathered together, and they voted again unanimously to rehire the keeper of the springs. And now this older man went back up into the Alps, began to remove the logs and the branches and clear out the debris of rotting leaves. And in time, the water became pure and clear once again. That story is a mental picture of verse 23, the key passage today. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I memorized this in the King James Version back in the day. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Above all else, I want you to pay attention. I want you to hear me. I want you to put it to heart. It's going to really impact your life and your health in so many different ways. You got to guard your heart. Everything you do flows from the heart. Here's a central point today. It's this, is that my heart's inward condition is revealed by my outward conduct. See, we just see everybody's outward conduct, right? They see us and we see them. But it's my heart's inward condition is going to be revealed, exposed, demonstrated by my outward conduct. You see, if my heart is pure, my conduct will be pure. If my heart becomes, you know, vile, then my actions would become vile. If my heart is a heart of joy and peace and a heart of forgiveness, my outward conduct will be joy and peaceful and forgiving people. If my heart is bitter and negative and critical, my outward conduct will be bitter and negative and critical. If my heart is God-centric, God-centered, my life will be God-centric, God-centered. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. My inward, the condition of my heart and the inside will be revealed by my actions on the outside. I'm not talking about the heart, you know, that blood pumping vessel, you know, where, you know, the blood is pounding. No, I'm talking about, in Scripture, it's talking about our will, you know, our inner self. Our heart has been referred to as the seat of appetites, the seat of emotions, the seat of motives. See, no one can see the condition of our heart but God, and He sees it crystal clear. But people eventually see, by our actions, the condition of our heart. It's just a matter of time. And if we are not careful, and if we do not guard our hearts, because life hits us and throws curveballs at us, and there's irritating people that harm us and talk about us, and we get criticized and all sorts of things. That's called life, right? And if we are not careful to be diligent to guarding our heart will become diseased and poisoned, and out from our heart, our actions and attitudes will be diseased and poisoned. Interesting thing about this passage is our heart affects other body parts. Our heart then affects our mouth, and then affects our eyes, and then affects our feet. The very next verse, verse 24, it says this: "Now keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." Like, how is this connected with the heart? Well, Jesus told us. Jesus basically, our mouth is a dead giveaway of the condition of our heart. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this, that a good man brings up good things out of the good stored in his what? Try that again. In his what? Heart. That's where it comes from. And an evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For, he said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Have you ever said something and it comes out and then everybody looks at you and then you realize, okay, how did that come out? It slipped out, and then you quickly try to cover it up. I go, I'm sorry, my bad. That's not me. You ever seen someone, a public figure on television? I can't believe I said that. It just came out. I don't normally use that word. That's not me. Jesus would say, yeah, it is. Because of our heart and the condition of our heart, our mouths speaks. And then our heart affects our eyes. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Talking about our heart, then our mouth, now our eyes. And he's like, look straight ahead, be focused straight ahead. It's like a picture of be focused on God and the things of God. But the thing about our eyes is that we're so easily distracted over here, you know. It's like, oh my goodness, I got distraction over here. And then I got temptations over here. Oh, that looks enticing. And Satan wants us to go down this way. And we've got to look at it first. And then we get irritable people, things and happens. And our eyes are always doing this. Causes us to walk into walls or trip because we weren't looking straight ahead. If someone had access and they had the technology to pull up everything you have watched and looked at on your phone and on your computer and had the capability to look at your history, even the history you deleted, if they would put that out on the public waves, would that be embarrassing? There's a lot of people in the room, myself included, like, oh, please, I hope that never, that technology never happens. God sees what we see. Instead of looking at God and the blessings of God and counting the blessings one by one, look what God has done. It's so easy to be distracted, and we get distracted, and we look at the wrongs this person did to me, and the wrongs, I can't believe they did that. They handled that wrong. I can't believe you said it that way. And we're so quick to look at the wrongs instead of straight ahead and the blessings that God has given to us over and over again. Then we wonder why we're not content and we're critical, because our eyes are over here and over there instead of straight ahead. Our heart affects our mouth. Our heart affects our eyes. Now it goes to our feet. Verse 26, give careful thought to the paths for your feet. And be steadfast, all right? Be sure, be steady in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Anytime you see feet in Scripture, it's really a word that talks about our choices, all right? Because our feet are a choice to step this direction or that direction or go over this direction. And our feet will lead us to paths, and our paths will lead us to a destination guaranteed. So our choices, our feet, and it's a reflection of our heart. I've said this once, I've said it probably 100 times. All right, direction determines destination. Not intention, but I didn't intend to go there. Yes, you did, because your feet took you there. You made choices to get there. Direction will always determine our destination. Now here's the key. If you use GPS on your phone or on your car, our heart inputs the address of our desired destination. Our heart is putting in the address, put it in the location of where we really want to go. After I was studying and finalize everything early this week, I did something I normally don't do. I went to Twitter, and I put what I believe God gave me, and it's this, is that whatever our heart loves, our mouth will talk about it, our eyes will look for it, and our feet will take us there. Whatever our heart loves. If our heart, We may come to church and we may say certain things to fake people out, but our heart is not in the direction of God. Our heart truly loves things that don't please the Lord. If our heart truly loves those things, it eventually will come out in our language and our jokes. And eventually our eyes will look for those things locally or at work or online, and our feet will eventually take us there. But if our heart truly loves the Lord and the things of the Lord, when we talk, he will just come out. We can't help talk about man, I read this passage this week. Man, it just touched my heart. It'll just kind of come out. It'll come out in how we pray. And it's not this cheesy, you know, non-emotional prayer. It's like a heartfelt prayer. We just got to talk about God. And even when you're going through hard things, you're just going to start sharing about the Lord. And our eyes will go searching for scripture and searching for passages. And in the passage, like, oh, God, I want to hear from you. And then our feet will take us in the direction, because we're being led by the Holy Spirit. It goes back to our heart and what we truly, truly love. Guard your heart. I mean, we said that so many times, Candy. Man, guard your heart, girls. I know your friend rejected you, and all the other people were invited to the party except you. Honey, you got to guard your heart. Guard your heart when you didn't get the part you wanted, and you know, you gave it your best, but sorry, Ashley, you know, you're just too tall for the part. They gave it to a smaller, you know, height girl. And honey, you got to guard your heart. You got to use those gifts that God gave you in a different way, but guard your heart. Watch out for bitterness. When a cute boy would begin to twinkle in their eye, got her to guard your heart, girl. Okay? And we talked about there's infatuation and then there's attraction, but what are you really attracted to? Are you attracted to, are they a follower of God? But they go to church. I don't care about that. Are they a follower of God? Are you attracted to their character? So those are the things that matter. And it all came, honey, we got to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Ourselves, we got to guard our heart. When money is tight, we've got to guard our heart. When accusations come, and like, that's not true, and got to guard my heart, guard my heart. So my answer is, like, well, how do we do that? I'm going to share three ways that I have tried my best to guard my heart and asking God as a prayer, God, help me guard my heart. The first way to guard our hearts is to invite God in for regular inspections. Invite God in for regular inspections. The Bible says that our hearts are so wicked as sinners, you know, that we don't even know our hearts. And the worst advice you could ever listen to and apply is someone says, well, you got to follow your heart. And when I hear this on Hallmark channels and stuff, and I'm yelling, no, don't do that. Our heart will take us in crazy directions. So we got to ask God. And I have learned by experience that I am a horrible heart inspector of my own heart. I can't judge anybody else's heart, but I think I know my heart. And God's word says, no, you don't. No, you don't. I love King David's passionate plea in Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and examine my heart, and see if there's anything offensive in it. I mean, it's like inviting God, search my heart, oh God. Examine my heart. And so if there's anything that shouldn't be there, help remove it from me. Examine. Have God examine our heart on a regular basis. It's not like a once in a year checkup. It's not even a biannual checkup. It needs to be all the time. I would encourage you, like, every day of the week, as you're going into work, or you're going to go into an event, or go out to school, whenever school happens again, God, guard my heart today. Inspect my heart. If there's anything there that shouldn't be there, cleanse me. Clean me. The second way to guard our heart is to store up the word. To store up the word. Just coming on Sunday or watching online Sunday, and that's the only word you get, you're going to be an anorexic believer. You're not going to get fully the full riches of God's word. Psalm 119 says, God, I have hid your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Putting God's word in my heart. Hebrews talks about the word of God is, you know, like a double-edged sword, all right? And it just cuts through everything, and it says even knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. There's something about being in God's word, and you're reading it, not just to check a box for a reading plan, but say, God, speak to me, and then a verse comes to you, and you're like, oh, ouch, God. And he was like, we need to work on that. You need to surrender that. You got a problem here. Why are you worrying? Why are you anxious? Why are you trying to control? And it's like from the word of God. So you got to store that up, store that up, store that up. And these meaningful passages that I have are not meaningful passages I love to preach. I say they're meaningful because God spoke to me. And there are times in my life that I had to cling to the word of God. And if it's not stored up, there's nothing to draw from. So invite God in for regular inspections. Store up the word. Another third way to guard our heart is to fill it up with worship. Fill it up with worship. Again, if life is so distracting and we get so diverted, our attention and our emotion, and we go all over the place. But I tell you, the worship of God is like a cleansing agent for my heart. It's like cleaning out the allergens, all right? Allergens, all right? That's what triggers allergic reactions. I got a lot of allergies, and I've been tested, and they can't figure out there's this violent, allergies in my sinuses, and thankfully we got a medicine that has kept me from surgery, because I was going to sinus surgery every 2 years, and it was like 10 of them, and it was horrible. But I had to figure out what I did know when that triggered me. Remember one day the Dead Sea Scrolls were across the water, and the kids were small, and we went with our friends the Tolls, and we were going to drive around, and we got some snacks along the way, and I got the big old box of Mike and Ike's. And I'm like pounding them down as I'm driving on I-5. And then about several miles from our destination, I start sneezing and then sneezing and then sneezing and then sneezing. And they all had to go in, and I was sneezing for an hour and a half. And I ran quickly out of toilet paper. I was a mess. Something triggered me. I'm like, it's Mike and Ike's. No, it's sugar. And I've learned if I had this spike of sugar. See, I know I'm allergic to chocolate, but I can have three cookies. If I go four, I'm flirting with danger. All right? And my wife has no mercy for me anymore. She's like, you went over three, didn't you? I'm like, yes, but it's so good. And I'm sneezing and blowing and sneezing and blowing. When our anxieties are triggered, when our fear is triggered, when our anger is triggered, what do? Where do we go? When we can't sleep because our mind is racing, and I'm finding out as an empty nester, I think I'm praying more for my kids and now grandkids than ever before when they're in my house. It's like they were down the hall, I had more control, right? Now they're across the country. So you're praying. Well, what keeps you awake? What triggers you to not have sleep? What triggers all these things? Okay, when you are triggered, when there is a reaction of emotion. What I have found for myself is I put the headphones on and turn some worship music on. Or if I'm mowing my lawn, I've learned it takes me an hour to mow my lawn. I'm going to put some worship music on. It's like cleansing my soul. When I'm upset and I'm driving from point A to point B, I turn off talk radio and I crank up the worship music. And it's amazing how it cleanses my emotions and it realigns my heart. And here's the thing. The circumstances don't change, but my heart does, which allows me to face whatever I'm facing better. I put together a short video, just glimpses of some of the worship songs and kind of my worship wheel right now. Some of them are new songs. Some of them are been around a while, and I'm just like, oh, I go for these songs that help my heart. I call it getting my praise on. You watch this video.
Sometimes I have my doubts. I'm sure that everybody does. I wonder when I stumble, am I still worthy of your love?
But I know that I get stronger when I'm talking to you down on my knees.
You're everything I need. You're amazing, faithful, love's open door. When I'm empty, you fill me with hunger for more of your mercy.
when the life I built came crashing to the ground. When the friends I had were nowhere to be found. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the waiting, and in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it.
Created to shine the light to the broken up pieces of my life.
Share some love from Hezekiah Walker. I love that. And I crank it up. And I got Elevation and I got Brooklyn Tabernacle. I mean, a wide variety. And it's amazing what worshiping God does. Helps guard our heart. So, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. And it helps us to respond well when life throws all this at us. And sometimes it throws multiple things at us. And if we try to, in our own strength, to deal with it, trust me, we're not strong enough to really go through it, through a trial by ourselves, and we're not equipped emotionally and mentally to win. But with Christ and the Holy Spirit inside of us, we can guard our heart, and it will be pleasing to the Lord and being filled with his Spirit so that we can go through any trial. Not in our strength, but in the strength he provides. And I said before, with our heart guarded and then with the peace that passes all understanding, we can go through any trial, any ocean, any depth, and climb any mountain and even succeed well. Guard our hearts. Would you pray with me? Oh God, thank you. Thank you so much for drawing me back to this passage a number of weeks ago. You know what was ahead of me, and you knew what I needed to share, not just keep it to myself. And I pray that your word today would be alive, come alive again. And people that have heard it, and not hear from me. Hearing from me, God will do nothing for people. But hearing from you and then applying your word, then there's life change. Then there's heart change. Then there's attitude change. And then there's directional change. So God, take your word. Bear fruit from your word in our lives and in our hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus. We say, amen. Amen.